Let's talk about being too busy to sit down and have coffee catch-ups.
Yeah, the Building Better Humans Project podcast. Welcome. Be motivated and be inspired. Let's go.
Hey team, Glenazar here. Welcome back to the Building Better Humans Project podcast. One of the things I focused on for 2022 is how I clear up my calendar, how I spend less time doing so many things, because I'm someone that chronically says yes to everything and believes that somewhere in everything there can be an opportunity. But I also am very aware that what I'm trying to achieve and the work I'm trying to get done is so big, it's so much, and I've set myself a 10-year window to do it. But I also realize 10 years goes at the click of a fingers. And I realize that you waste 10 years in the day-to-day, in the moments, in thinking that I'm going to get all this stuff done in 2022, and I don't. Now, for me, I'm someone that gets a lot of people reaching out to me, offering to buy me coffee, which I've spoken about on this show before, and saying, hey, I'd love to pick your brain. And effectively, what they're saying is, sit down for 45 minutes to an hour, chew the fat about some ideas that I or maybe that they have that I can add value to, so that I can shortcut their process a little bit, but all for the space of having a coffee. And so that becomes a lot of sitting around talking about what I've done, what I've achieved, whatever that they might find value in. But essentially, that's an hour of time that I could have spent working on stuff. And so it's a very glorified way of being of procrastinating would be the word, of doing nothing, of being less productive. And we can look at the end of our day and say, hey, busy day, had a lot on. But if you ask yourself, what did you get done? It can be a very, very different question. So I think there's power in this idea of looking at saying, in my work day, if it's a non-transactional action, as in if there's nothing achieved by the end of it, do I want to do it? I mean, I can do my coffee catch-ups with mates and friends and family and those sort of things. I'm not suggesting never have those, but do I want to do them in my work day? Because when you work for yourself, as I do, you have the ability to pretty much do what you want, when you want, however you want. But of course, that doesn't mean that it's free from consequence. The consequences are that if you're frivolous with your time, you don't achieve the goals. The broader consequence for me, if I don't achieve my goals, then I'm not getting done the things that the people that I employ, the people that I work with and for deserve to have of me. And I first listened to this concept, I guess, this idea, and it sounds a bit brutal, of really controlling meetings and coffee catch-ups, etc., off a podcast called The Naval Podcast. I'll play this little five-minute section for you because I think it's really, really relevant. And let me know what you think.
We squander our time with the death of a thousand cuts. So another tweet I had was, you should be too busy to do coffee while still keeping an uncluttered calendar. People who know me know that I'm famous for simultaneously doing two things. One is having a very clean calendar. I have almost no meetings on it. And there are people that I meet with when they see my calendar, they almost weep. While at the same time, I am busy all the time. I'm always doing something. And it's usually quote unquote work related, but it is whatever the highest impact thing is that needs to be done at that time and that I'm most interested and inspired about. But the only way to do that is to constantly, ruthlessly decline meetings. People want to do coffee and build relationships, and that's fine early in your career when you're still exploring, but later in your career when exploiting and there are more things coming at you than you have time for, you have to ruthlessly cut meetings out of your life. If someone wants to do a meeting, see if you can do it with a phone call instead. If they want to do a phone call, see if they can do it with an email instead. If they want to do it with email, see if they can do it with a text message instead. If they're text messaging, you should probably be ignoring most text messages unless they're true emergencies. So one has to be utterly ruthless about dodging meetings. When you do meetings, do walking meetings, do standing meetings, keep them short, keep them actionable, keep them small. Any meeting with eight people in it sitting at a conference table, nothing is getting done in that meeting. You're literally just dying 1 hour at a time.
Doing coffee reminds me of an old quote, I think, from Steve Jobs when they asked him, hey, why doesn't Apple come to conventions? Or why don't you come to my convention? And his response was, well, then because we wouldn't be here working.
Yeah, I used to have a tough time turning people down for meetings, but now I just tell them outright. I just say, look, I don't do non-transactional meetings. I don't do meetings without a strict agenda. I don't do meetings unless we absolutely have to. Nivy used to do this. He would email people when they would ask Nivy and I for a meeting, like coffee meeting, get to know you. He would say, we don't do meetings unless it's life and death urgent. And then that person has to basically respond, yeah, it's life and death urgent, or there's no meeting. when you have something important or something valuable, other busy, interesting people will meet with you. Your calling card has to be, hey, here's what I've done. Here's what I can show you. Let's meet and I'll be respectful of your time if this is useful to you. And I find that there are very busy, important people who will take your meeting, but you have to come with a proper calling card. All the people who tweet and who email famous or rich people saying, hey, if I could just get one meeting with you, and they're vague about it, they're not going to get anywhere in life. You have to build up the credibility. When, for example, an investor in the tech business and the venture business looks at a startup, the first thing they want to see is they want to see some evidence of product progress. They don't just want to even see a slide deck. They want to see product progress, because the product progress is the resume for the entrepreneur. It is the unshakable, unfakeable resume. So you have to do the work. To use a crypto analogy, you have to have proof of work. If you have proof of work and you truly have something interesting, then you shouldn't hesitate to put it together in an email and send it to somebody. But even then, when you're asking for a meeting, you want to be super actionable about it. But I would say even the other side, even if you yourself haven't made it yet, if you think you're going to make it by going out and networking and doing a whole bunch of meetings, you're probably incorrect. Yes, networking can be important early in your career. And yes, you can get serendipitous with meetings, but the odds are pretty low. And as we spent time talking about earlier, when you are just meeting people and hoping to get that lucky break, you're relying on type one luck, which is blind luck, and type two luck, which is hustle luck. But what you're not getting is type three or type four luck, which are the better kinds, where you spend time developing a reputation, working on something, developing a unique point of view, and being able to spot opportunities that others can't. A busy calendar and a busy mind will destroy your ability to do great things in this world. If you want to be able to do great things, whether you're a musician or whether you are an entrepreneur or whether you're an investor, you need free time and you need a free mind.
So that sounds quite brutal and it sounds to me very interesting, but of course it makes sense that if we have got a totally full calendar and we're constantly taking meetings, etc., where's the work time? And this ties back to a lot of Cal Newport's work in that deep work. Like, where are you able to do deep work if you're taking meetings, answering texts, taking phone calls, when you're meant to be productive, actually getting things done? It reminds me of a very old saying, which is, after all is said and done, there's a lot more said than done. And I guess that's true of most of us. So my focus is, I guess, trying not to be too brutal, but at the same time, being too brutal. How do I cut so much out of my day so that I'm focusing on productivity, because what I'm trying to achieve is so damn big? Particularly, obviously, I'm talking about this youth development app, but on the side of the youth development app, I've still got Adventure Professionals, I've still got Project 180, I've still got the Building Better Humans project across the board doing its actual mentoring and coaching. What are the, and in the middle of that, training Taylor, obviously, and then how do I then also attribute as much of my time as humanly possible to building this youth development app, which I believe is the future? And yet right now, there's no financial viability in the time I spend there, but it's never going to be what it's going to be unless I spend the time there. And so to do that, I've got to find time. I've got to create time from somewhere. And for me, this year, it's going to be cutting away all of those frivolous amounts of time that I spend giving away to people. So now, and this is hard for me because I'm someone that likes chatting and likes to meet with people. Now I've got to sit down and say, you need to show me what it is that you want to talk about, why you want to talk about it. And I've done this a little bit with people I don't know, where they'll say, hey, got this amazing opportunity, really want to sit down and chat with you about it. And I'll say to them, drop me an email, outline it, bullet points or whatever, or in a paragraph or two. If I feel there's interest in it from me, I look at it and go, wow, yeah, that's something I want to talk about. I'll get back to you. And I can tell you, this is without word of a lie, I think 98% of the time, I've never received that email, which to me means they couldn't articulate it well enough in that paragraph or two to know what they actually wanted. Therefore, in an hour of time with me, we're going to be live workshopping something, hoping that there's something there. And I don't have time for that. And I am getting older and I have also got, you know, the pedal to the metal on what I'm trying to achieve. And so I'm not at that stage of life where I'm trying to network, I'm trying to build my name, I'm trying to get myself out there. Instead, I'm actually trying to protect my time so that I can spend it as productively as human possible. Just something for you to consider. And it's a really big thing that I'm working on for 2022 and beyond.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Building Better Humans podcast with your host, Glenn Azar. For feedback, to stay up to date, or go back and find an old episode, head over to 180.net.au. Yeah, the Building Better Humans Project podcast. Let's go.